This is Matt Harmon of NFL.com, and I'm bringing my reception perception and next-gen stats to this episode of Off the Record.
All right, this is indeed Off the Record. I am your host, Andy Singleton, and you can find me on Twitter at People's Pen.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to apologize for the lag in my video. Thankfully, the audio was saved, and thankfully, all the guests had no interruptions with their video. Unforeseen error, I blame the recording software, but nothing I can do about it at this point, so hopefully it's not too distracting while you're watching this phenomenal episode. Enjoy the rest. Thanks.
First and foremost, I want to welcome back our returning viewers, as well as thank and welcome any new ones we might have today. We hope you like what you see and make us a part of your weekly routine. To help ensure that, we ask you to subscribe to Nickel Press TV while you're already here, and please engage in these episodes by leaving your comments and questions below. I want to give a quick nod to our sponsors and partners, Official Fantasy Rings, Revel Labels, Dynasty Football Factory, Fantasy Assembly, and Friends with Fantasy Benefits. You can find each of them listed in the description section below. And please be sure to pay them all a visit. Also, thanks to any of you who found us through Reddit or the Fantasy Rundown. We appreciate you stopping by as well. So what exactly is Off the Record? Well, we take two well-known and respected voices from the football world. We sit them down together, and then we ask them to pitch a player of their choosing, and in 60 seconds, try to make a better case than their counterpart. My co-host, Tehal Bedik, serves as the judge and jury and determines the winner of each round for a total of 5 rounds. There are no prizes, there are no real winners, except for you, the audience, because you get to hear well-reasoned arguments in a fun, fast, and exciting way from the names you've come to trust. Then, as a bonus, we give you a top-notch medical analysis from the world-renowned orthopedic surgeon and Duke University resident doctor, Mr. Selim Parekh. What's not to like about that? So, before we proceed, I must mention that we are without the services of Lord Bedik tonight, but we do have a special guest judge joining us as a stand-in, and a former Off the Record guest in Miss Stacey Stern. So without further ado, let's bring in the guest and let's get on with the show. From the NFL.com, you know him for his reception perception model, his cross-country traveling, and his lovable master, Charlie. I am pleased to welcome Mr. Matt Harmon. Matt, thank you for joining us. How are you, Slim?
I'm doing good, guys. We finished up a long day there at the NFL Network, so feeling good and ready to talk some more with you all tonight. And thanks, everybody that's watching.
That is absolutely amazing just to hear that sentence uttered on this show. So appreciate you being here. And then secondly, opposing Matt tonight from today's Pigskin, he hails from the Motor City, although his roots are in Championship City, Cleveland. I highly doubt he expected to be in Game 1 of the World Series when he agreed to be on this episode today. Joining us is Jeff Risden. Jeff, how are you?
I am celebrating 216 day. The Cavs got their rings tonight. The Indians are playing in the World Series, and they're currently winning. So you cannot wipe the smile off my face, even if Matt happens to wipe the floor with me. So it's all good.
I have two highly respected names that have given up major portions of their day and their time that could obviously be better served than being on this show. So hopefully you guys are enjoying that. Before we get to round one, does the Honorable Stacey Stern have any special instructions for our participants today?
You know what? I don't think I need to tell these guys anything. I'm actually really excited to hear what they have to say because I might glean some advice for my own rosters based on what they try to argue tonight.
All right. Well, then let's get right to it. We're going to start with the tight ends. As I teased on Twitter earlier in the week, when you have Matt Harmon on, you got to go wide receiver heavy. So we will be focusing on wide receivers after this. But we're going to jump to tight ends real quick for round one. 60 seconds for each contestant. I'm gonna let Matt start it off. He's arguing for Tyler Eifert, and Jeff has Jack Doyle. So what is it about Tyler Eifert you like?
I mean, I think it's just the fact that they really need him. Obviously, there are injury concerns. You know, he suffered a setback from the injury he was already coming into the year with, which is, of course, that's always a concern. However, it's pretty clear that the Cincinnati Bengals offense needs him. You know, Brandon LaFell has been catching the red zone touchdowns there. And, you know, while that works and everything, I think they definitely want to see Tyler Eifert back in that role. Andy Dalton's been fine this year. But I think, again, it's just how much they need him that really has me excited going forward.
And then, Jeff, how could you counter with Jack Doyle?
Well, first off, he's healthy, and I think that matters because I don't think Tyler Eifert is all that healthy either. Secondly, he's getting more consistent targets, especially in the last couple games, 14 targets, 13 receptions, a touchdown in each one. I happen to see him play my Detroit Lions. He was uncoverable in that game. That has something to do with the Detroit defense. But he's also in a division where there's a lot of bad pass defense, and I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. It seems like Andrew Luck is starting to trust him in the red zone, and that's where you really pile up your fantasy points is if you get a tight end that can catch some touchdowns, and he's doing quite well with that right now.
Well, obviously, these are both two big name tight ends at this point. Jack Doyle joining the conversation. I just tweeted out he's top 10 tight end through 7 weeks so far. So this is not necessarily about who would you like better. This is more if you could pick up either of the two, whose argument were you more persuaded by, Ms. Stern?
You know what? I think I'm more persuaded by Jack Doyle, which I can't believe I'm saying. And the reason that I'm concerned about Tyler Eifert is not that they don't need him there, but because of the health, because it's not like he's been able to stay on the field. And LaFell is nobody I'm excited about, but he's been able to get the red zone target. So I think I'm a believer in O'Doyle rules and Jack Doyle.
All right. Well, we're headed towards an upset. Round one to Risden.
It's because we haven't hit the wide receivers yet. You got to give Jeff the tight end.
Listen, he's from Championship City by birth, so there could be something in the water right now. All right.
Okay.
So moving into the wide receivers, we got round two. We're going to go with Tyrell Williams versus Mike Thomas, and we're going to start with the leader. Jeff has Mike Thomas. What do you like about the Buckeye?
Yeah, it's important to note which Mike Thomas it is. This is not the Rams guy. This is the Saints rookie Mike Thomas, the good Mike Thomas. Mm-hmm. He's just been on fire lately. He's getting consistent targets every week, has 15 catches the last 2 weeks, 208 yards. What's important about that is that they came out of the bye, and he was a bigger part of the offense coming out of the bye. Drew Brees obviously throwing a lot. Their defense is god-awful, so they're going to have to keep throwing a lot, and he seems to be earning his targets. And I was a big fan of his. He was my number one wide receiver in this draft, and I'm looking forward to keep riding him as far as he can go.
That sounded a little off at the end, but I know Tahal would have had something to add to that as far as you riding him to the end.
Phrasing, sorry.
I know.
This is sometimes an adult show. Is there any Ohio biasness based on this Mike Thomas touting?
Not really. I am an Ohio Bobcat, not an Ohio State Buckeye, and we don't really have any other than LaVon Brazil, who just didn't work out. So yeah, more of an overall opportunity thing here than anything else. I love the opportunities that he's getting right now.
Got it. So Matt, he wasn't a lottery pick, but he's emerging as potential number one. You have Tyrell Williams. What is it that you see about him as somebody you're targeting going forward?
I mean, I do think that the opportunity is there. I like Mike Thomas, as Jeff Ridson pointed out there, but Tyrell Williams, really exciting to me. In the last 6 weeks, he's led the team in targets, catches, receiving yards, red zone targets. So over the last six games, Tyrell Williams has led the team in targets, catches, receiving yards, red zone targets, and targets inside the 10-yard line. You know, he's been getting the money touches inside the San Diego offense. Last week, they moved him into the slot where he accumulated 89% of his yards in order to get him off the Falcons' best cornerback. It's pretty clear that he's emerging as one of the top targets, if not the top target in San Diego, one of the better offenses in the NFL. And also, he's got a great schedule down the stretch. He plays Cleveland once. He plays Oakland once. He plays Tampa Bay and Carolina. Those are all really good matchups. So I think that, honestly, this is a guy that could put up, you know, wide receiver two numbers at worst, but even some wide receiver one weeks for you in fantasy.
Hey, you got your work cut out for you, Stacey, because when Matt Hartman advocates a wide receiver, it rings bells throughout the fantasy community. So
I'm telling you, yeah, you're right.
Well, and listen, we must take out of consideration the fact of where they were drafted, et cetera, et cetera. And this is based solely on what you heard presented to you.
Yeah, I mean, what I care about these guys, whether it's Mike Thomas, the good Mike Thomas, or whether it's Tyrell Williams, is what can you do for me for the rest of the season? And truthfully, I'm really on the Tyrell Williams side. I think all the arguments that Matt laid out about the red zone targets, about how many looks he's getting. My concern for Mike Thomas is not even the talent so much is what are you going to do with Brandon Cooks, with Willie Snead, with Mark Ingram, with Kobe Fleener? Like, there are a lot of mouths to feed. You've got Hunter Henry maybe in concussion protocol. I really like Williams and his role. He's got a connection with Rivers. I'm saying Rivers-Williams for the election this year. That's a ticket you can count on. So book it for Tyrell Williams.
All right. We are tied at 1-1 going into round three. We're going to keep it with wide receivers, as mentioned. Only now we're going to talk about wide receivers to avoid. So in sticking with the theme of winner of the last round goes first, Matt is going to talk about Brandon Cooks and why he thinks it's time to either get rid of him, drop him maybe, just avoid him in general. And it's probably going to pain Matt to know that Jeff is going to talk about Allen Robinson as his guy to avoid. So, Matt,
did that just for you, buddy.
I've already shed the requisite tears for what Jeff is going to say, so hopefully it won't hurt me too much. But on the Brandon Cooks side, I know that he's obviously a good player. He plays in a good offense. Like, I'm not saying to completely drop him or anything like that, but I think we're starting to see at this point in his career, you know, he is this is what he is sort of guy. You know, he's really up and down. He has some solid games on the road, but most of his big blow-up weeks come when they're at home. He has over 900 yards in his last 11 road games and under 700 yards in his last other way around. He has over 900 yards in his last home game, his last 11 home games, and under 700 yards in his last 11 road games. So we know he's a little bit up and down from that perspective. Also, Scott Baird from Pro Football Focus did some really good research that showed Brandon Cooks accumulates the majority of his fantasy point scoring against fast or slower cornerbacks. And when guys they run under a 4-4, those are guys that can pretty much cover him well. And I think if you just watch him, you see him struggle with press man coverage. He's not a traditional number one receiver. And, you know, how Jeff laid out a really good argument for Mike Thomas, I think that negatively affects Brandon Cooks, along with guys like Willie Snead and even Kobe Fleener there, are going to take away opportunities. He's not going to see the targets of a traditional number one.
All right. So what is it about Allen Robinson now that you're sour on?
He's just having a bad year. I think he's a fantastic player. I agree with Matt. I love him. He was my second round draft pick in one of my leagues this year. He's a great talent, but it's just not showing this year. And some of it's out of his control. Some of it is Blake Bortles not having a very good grasp at the quarterback position. He's throwing the ball all over the place. You get the feeling that they're losing a little bit of confidence in him. They had to come out with the dreaded vote of confidence from the coach today that they're not considering benching him, which means that Chad Henne is probably going to be starting in a couple of weeks. But just overall with Robinson, this is a guy who's noted for having great hands. I remember going back to Penn State, he made Christian Hackenberg look good. And if anybody can do that, they have certainly earned my respect as a receiver. But he's catching under 50% of his passes this year. He's not getting the big plays down the field, just three catches that have gone for more than 20 yards. He's not getting yards after the catch. I think that's the most concerning thing, because that he's a bull when he gets the ball in his hands, but it's just not showing this year. 2.2 yards of yak per catch. He's a great guy. He's just in a bad situation right now. It seems like the Jaguars are teetering on, you know, falling apart. And for whatever reason, he's just not rising above it. He certainly could bounce back, but I'm just not real confident in that whole Jacksonville team. And the fact that he's not getting the targets that Allen Hurns is, that scares me quite a bit, because he's a lot more talented than Allen Hurns. Not that Hurns isn't a bad receiver, but he, for being a number one guy, Allen Robinson has been a huge disappointment this year, and I'm not sure that he's going to stem that tide right now.
Stacey?
All right. I think the bigger disappointment for me and the better argument was for Allen Robinson. Cooks has been a huge disappointment, but I think there were a lot of people who were already worried about, again, the number of mouths to feed. With Robinson, you're seeing a guy, like Jeff said, he's got great hands. He's been known for that, but it's like he caught a case of the Michael Floyds where he's not confident in himself. He's in his own head. Blake Bortles has been terrible. Marquise Lee has seemed to take some of the targets that we thought we would see for Allen Robinson. So I'm more concerned about Allen Robinson than I am Brandon Cooks.
Which would make Jeff the winner of round three. I got to add, I was going to deduct a point from you, Jeff, because I heard Hackenberg and Good in the same sentence. But then I realized the context in which you said it. And realized, no, that was not a – that I should actually probably give you a bonus point for that.
I will never say anything positive about Christian Hackenberg ever. You have my promise.
Neither
on
will anybody in New York, so don't worry. All right, so let's move on to round four. Another wide receiver controversy of two big names that maybe it's time to avoid. Risden's in the lead, 2-1. We're going to start with him. He's going with Jordan Matthews. Matt's going with Julian Edelman. Jeff, why Jordan Matthews?
You know, the last couple of weeks, it seems like the Eagles' offense has slowed down some, and it seems like Jordan Matthews is one of the reasons why. Carson Wentz is struggling a little bit with a little bit more pressure. They're missing Lane Johnson at right tackle. That's gumming up the entire works. And he's not getting the targets. He has, let's see, four or fewer targets in three of the last four games. That's concerning because he did very well, and I believe he had 14 targets in the opener. And since then, it's been a downward slide. They're not getting as much production offensively as a whole. And I'm just worried that he's not getting the red zone looks. He's not getting the consistency of targets. Not that they have a lot of other great options, but it seems like the league has adjusted to what Carson Wentz and that offense are looking like. Now it's on him to make the next step. He's a good player, and I do like him going forward. But I think right now, in the short term, I would avoid him. Long term, I still like him quite a bit. But just for the next couple of weeks, if you're a DFS player, I'd go cold on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Edelman, the thing is, like, what are we expecting differently right now? You know, he was a disappointment to start the year, but you could point out his quarterbacks, of course. But Tom Brady wasn't there. It was an easy argument to make. But he's actually become even less useful with Tom Brady back there. His targets per game have gone up from 6.7 with the other two quarterbacks under center to 9 per game with Tom Brady under center. But his average depth of target has come down. His per our next-gen stats at NFL, his 4.1 yards per completion are the lowest among any number one receiver in the NFL. So, I mean, it's a guy that is just being used in a very short zones, not getting a lot of work downfield. And, I mean, listen, as a fantasy player, you want your wide receivers to score touchdowns. When are they ever going to go to Julian Edelman in the red zone? And clearly, if he's not getting downfield targets, that's where he's going to have to score. When they get into the red zone, they have Gronk, they have Martellus Bennett, they have LeGarrette Blount, who's been fantastic as a red zone back this year. So when they have weapons like LeGarrette Blount, Martellus Bennett, and Rob Gronkowski there in the red zone, it's just hard to tell yourself a story of how things are going to be different for Julian Edelman than what we've seen in the first few weeks of the NFL season. And then when Tom Brady's gotten back, it hasn't gotten better. So again, I think he's just not a guy that's going to score a lot of touchdowns, and he's not clearly going to be used down the field.
No, you got to clear that.
You had me at NFL Next Gen Stats. You are so right on point. What a disappointment Edelman has been. Have him in a couple of leagues. Expected that he was going to do better when Brady came back. At least be the PPR darling that he was. I'm not even asking for touchdowns, Julian. I just need some receptions. Catch the dang ball. So I think the bigger disappointment and a guy I've got to try to figure out how to trade him off my roster in a couple of leagues is Julian Edelman, without a doubt.
All right, that pulls us into a tie yet again. This is the third episode now that we're doing these five-round debates, and it's been said that I'm coercing these ties. It's not that. It speaks to the volume and the magnitude of the guests we're able to get. These arguments are very hard to distinguish upon because they're both so sound. We're going to take a quick little interlude to hear what medical news the doctor would like to let us know about this week, and we'll be right back with the fifth and final round tiebreaker.
Hey, this is Dr. Simon Perret, the fantasy doctor. Hamstring injuries and running backs are going hand in hand over the last few weeks in the NFL. We've seen Bills LeSean McCoy go down with a hamstring injury, as well as Falcons running back Tevin Coleman and Bucks running back Doug Martin. All these guys have hamstring injuries. So let's talk about hamstring injuries and why this is such a big injury. If you look at your hamstrings, it's a group of muscles that sits behind your thigh muscle. These group of muscles help your knee flex and your hip extend. There are times when you really strain these muscles, especially with overexertion, or if there's exhaustion, or if you are in a dehydrated state, just like NFL players are early on in the season. Now, when you strain your thigh muscle, your hamstring muscles, there are three different grades that can only be graded by MRI. A grade 1 is a stretch, a grade 2 is a partial tear, and a grade 3 is a full tear. Grade 1s require about 2 weeks to return to play, grade 2 is 4 weeks, and grade 3 are 6 weeks. Now, you know, LeSean McCoy, by medical training and medical evaluations, seemed to be cleared on Saturday and Sunday for the game. Well, when you get him game time situations, these are much different situations than just the testing that may occur on the sideline. And so with exhaustion, with overexertion, and with dehydration, he flared up his hamstring again. And this is something that you will see come up over and over again if the teams don't give the athletes time to recover from their hamstring strains. So for me, hamstring strains are really something that you got to take care of, otherwise they nag throughout the entire season. Look for all these guys to get back on the playing field within 2 to 4 weeks. And when they get back, as long as they take it slow, they stay hydrated, they should be okay for the rest of the season. This is Dr. Seelan Parekh, the Fantasy Doctor.
All right. So as I mentioned, we've been tied every week, and this week is no different. We're going into round five. And it is a unique battle because it's the same player, Ty Montgomery. Both gentlemen wanted to make cases for him. Montgomery, I'm not even sure. Maybe you guys can add this or let me know if this is the case or not. I know it's not on true on CBS, but is he even running back eligible on certain websites yet? And like I said, this is a unique battle because you have a wide receiver who's now being converted into a running back and actually might have some success at it. So,
yes. So I think that right now he's kind of been a little bit of a missing piece to the Packers offense. We know that they've struggled through the first few weeks to be consistent, but I think they've really found something with him. And he's almost like their souped up version of Theo Riddick. I put out their Next Gen Stats route charts and compare them to each other. The routes they're running out of the backfield, they're very similar. Montgomery has 10 catches in back-to-back games. He also looks pretty good running the ball. I mean, looking at him back at Stanford, I didn't think he was ever going to develop into like a pro route runner, but very good in space, and I think that's what we're going to see from him continuing moving forward, it being used more out of the backfield than as a receiver, but I think he'll just be basically an extension of the running game while they struggle without Eddie Lacy.
All right. Well, I'm also a Ty Montgomery fan. I love the opportunities that he's getting. Getting 10 receptions each of the last 2 weeks. And like Matt said, he's very effective out of the backfield. I like the Theo Riddick comparison, and as somebody who covers the Lions, I definitely appreciate that. Biggest thing is he's got the opportunity with Eddie Lacy out, with James Starks banged up, with their wide receivers. It looks like Jared Aberderis is gone. Not that he was fantasy relevant, but it does sap their depth chart a little bit. They just don't have a whole lot of weapons, and he is certainly the speediest of their weapons. And I think you saw a little bit of a spark at the end of their game last week, where Aaron Rodgers was like, you know what? I got a guy that I can do something with this guy. This is nice. And you saw him get in a little bit of a comfort zone. And as a bonus, he's also returning punts and kicks every now and then for those of you who are in leagues that get points for that. He's going to get a whole lot of touches going forward just because they don't have anybody better than him to take them. And I really like his upside going forward. Like Matt, I was not a huge fan of his coming out of Stanford. But he does two things very well. He catches the ball and he can make the first guy miss. And that's something that nobody else in Green Bay has done for a while. So he's got the huge, huge green light going forward.
All right. Well, we know the player that's going to win this round is Ty Montgomery. Was there an argument that convinced you more than the other, or were they both just so solid?
They were both so solid. Matt brought up the route running and how much he's matured in that, and I thought that was really good. They both talked about the comparison to Theo Riddick, which I think is spot on. He's explosive. He's a good ball catcher. And I think that the ability for Aaron Rodgers to see that he's got a special weapon there with Ty Montgomery, which is what Jeff alluded to, was really good. So I don't know that I can even choose a winner between Jeff and Matt, and I know that sounds so ridiculous. It feels like the Cardinals Seahawks game from Sunday where you feel kind of gross afterwards. But just Ty Montgomery is the winner. And I would say we got another tie. I know. I don't know how it's going to affect your standings later on. I don't know how it's going to affect your push for the playoffs, but I can't pick. They're both compelling arguments.
No, that's fine. And as I mentioned, when I was kind of mocking one of Jeff's comments, I have to mock one of yours now. Sometimes we do get a little adult, and I think the winner is us for hearing you say ball catcher. But that is going to do it. We are going to end yet another tie. There are no prizes for the audience, but if you leave comments, you might get selected. We might be able to convince Matt to throw you something from the NFL networks. We might be able to get Jeff to give you some today's pigskin swag. And maybe even the Honorable Stacey Stern would give somebody something as well. So it's more incentive to leave your comments and subscribe to the channel. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to Nickel Press TV. If you're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, look for us at Nickel Press TV. Matt, before we go, do you have anything you'd like to say to our viewers? Any products you'd like to plug? How can they find you on Twitter? All that good stuff.
Well, for one, I just want to thank everybody for checking out the show. Andy's been doing some good stuff here. Thank you three for being here with me tonight and putting up with me. I was definitely the difficult one tonight with the internet and being late. So thank you three for sure. And in terms of where you can find me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB, doing plenty of stuff with NFL.com and NFL Network right now. Download and subscribe to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. If you like this show, you will like that one too. So
I've never been put ahead of that. And I doubt that will ever happen again. So I'm going to just edit that. And that's going to be the whole video this week.
Download and subscribe to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. If you like this show, you will like that one too.
Jeff, same question to you. Anything you would like to plug or tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter at Jeff Risdon, RISDON. I'm freshly verified, for whatever that means. My first article of the year for today's Pigskin, where I just started today covering the NFC North, is up about making a case for Matthew Stafford as MVP. You can still find me at Real GM, where I've been writing forever, covering the NFL and the NFL draft, and also at Draft Breakdown, where I do a bunch of draft stuff that's fairly exhaustive and intense. If you're into being a draft nerd, you'll really like it. And thanks again for having me on here. It was great to square off with Matt, especially since he was just on TV talking about fantasy. I feel pretty good that I got a tie out of this.
Absolutely. Well, I would like to point out that this is the first time I've had two former guests of Hanging Einstein on Off the Record. So thank you both for joining. And if you follow Jeff on Twitter, you will have seen some ticker tape parade pictures when the Cavs won. And maybe there'll be some more depending on what happens with this World Series. But
all in, baby. All in 216.
Stacey, do you have any parting words?
I have no parting words. I mean, if you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter at Stacey Stern, Stacey with an IE. I'm not verified. I don't really have a ton to say. And then you can also listen to me on Colton and the Wolfman on SiriusXM Fantasy on Tuesday nights.
Awesome. Well, thank you again to our sponsors and partners for the fantasy doctor, Salim Parekh, my co-host who was not with us tonight, Tahal Bedekt, Ms. Stacey Stern, Matt Harmon, Jeff Risdon. I'm Andy Singleton, people who've been on Twitter. We'll be joined next week by Brandon Marianne Lee of Her Fantasy Football, as well as Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan. So we hope to see you back next week. Until then, take care. Thanks for joining us.